As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful.
On the things that really matter to workers and families, you have comprehensively failed, and no amount of bragging or bluster will disguise that fact.
Hello and you're very welcome to the Your Politics podcast with me, David Murphy, and I'm joined by Sandra Hurley, Mary Regan and Micheál Lehane, and we're on the home straight in relation to the local and European elections. But one thing that has been happening a lot on social media is that the videos have become more inventive by some political parties. In the past few days, we've had Simon Coveney on a horse, Sean Kelly, MEP, we've seen him topless, Richard Bruton, we've seen his abs, and then Maria Walsh, MEP, deciding between snacks from the US and Europe. Is it all getting a bit silly, or is this a way to attract in viewers, Sandra?
Well, I think politicians are desperate to engage people on social media, and they've certainly been kind of plumbing the depths there. Fine Gael in particular seem to have taken some sort of different advice, shall we say, this time around, because there has been a lot of topless male politicians. I think it's awful that we're objectifying male politicians in this way. And there seemed to be an abs off between Richard Bruton and Sean Kelly. It certainly worked for Richard Bruton one time previously. I think they tried to mine that again, mine that gold. Has it worked? I'm not sure. I have now seen Simon Coveney riding a horse. I didn't expect to see that during the campaign, but anything to get attention, and we are talking about it.
Does it work, Mary?
Well, I guess when you have constituencies the size of the European constituencies, particularly the two outside Dublin, it's all about name recognition, face recognition, and just getting noticed, because they can't possibly get around to all the voters that they need to meet. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised, really, to be honest, to see Simon Coveney's horse riding skills. Thought he'd be a little bit better than that. But one thing, if we're talking about Sean Kelly, is just the sheer array of GAA stars that he's been pictured with. You know, we could list them off. You know, there's been 10, I think, in the past week alone. You know, former Cork hurler Mark Landers, Babs Keating, you know, tip legend Kerry footballers, the O'Shea's, and goes on and on. So he's really capitalising on that GAA vote in the south of the country, and, you know, particularly making great use out of the GAA season.
Micheál, when you have a look through the social media videos, it's interesting. Definitely Fine Gael are trying to do something different here. They've kind of realised that simply taking a clip from one of the TV programmes or a politician walking down the street isn't quite enough. They've actually gone one little bit further, and there's a little bit of production going on there, particularly with Maria Walsh's videos, where she's looking at American snacks versus European snacks. But what's your view on it all?
I don't know. They're still not great. Like, I mean, if you were to compare them to proper comedy, they're way off, really, aren't they? It's an improvement, because political party stuff was awful. The social media, so it was really cringe. It's improved a bit, but I don't know. I think we're still more or less laughing at them rather than with them. I thought John Mullen's piece with the Cork comedian Reggie, because there was a comedian involved, did seem to be a decent attempt at something. But that's as good as it gets. Let's be honest, political humour, we all latch on to it.
A lot of mentions of Cork in that video, actually. And I was watching it, I was thinking, is John Mullins maybe more aiming for that extra seat in Cork South Central next time round rather than the European election? Because it was all, I lost count of the number of times Cork was mentioned, and it just seemed to be gearing a certain way.
One interesting thing that's really dominated, I guess, in the final days of this campaign is the way in which some of the coalition parties are beginning to row with each other a little bit. We've seen the Greens versus Fianna Fáil, with Pauline O'Reilly of the Greens rowing with Lisa Chambers about wind farms. We've seen something similar with the Greens and Fine Gael. Ciarán Cuff of the Greens rowing with Regina Doherty about cycle lanes. So there's been a little bit of this kind of friction within the coalition, but not to be taken too seriously, maybe.
Well, it doesn't seem so. And I suppose if a lot of the people that are doing the fighting are in the Shannon, I mean, politically, again, you know, how serious
is that?
What are
you saying about the Shannon?
The upper house. I mean, it isn't quite as damaging, despite, you know, that Regina Doherty is the main government person in the Shannon and the like. There's been a lot of efforts, though, at senior levels of government today say don't, you know, there's nothing to see here. Indeed, in the last few minutes, Pascal Donoghue saying that the foundations of the coalition have never been sounder. He was standing beside Oisin Smith. I did ask Pascal Donoghue if he thought cycle lanes in Dublin did look like the Berlin Wall. That's, of course, is what Regina Doherty believes. I said he didn't, even though they are a point of debate. He believes that they do work and they help get children to school very well and safer, something that Oisin Smith agreed with. Indeed, such was the bonhomie among the two ministers at that department this evening. When asked if a Taylor Swift fan zone might be set up in Dublin for the Taylor Swift concert, a question that Pascal Donoghue really enjoyed, Oisin Smith innocently did ask in that kind of inquisitive mind and inquisitive way that he has, what is a fan zone? To which Pascal Donoghue promised that he would bring him to one if they do set it up for Taylor Swift. So, you know, these...
And thought you were going to say, who's Taylor Swift?
No.
He likes Taylor Swift. I think he's spoken about that before, and not just the economics, the fact that I think in Sweden they had an economic boost when the Taylor Swift came to town because there's so much economic activity centred around that. But Pascal Donoghue has previously said he listens to her music because we know he listens to lots of different types of music.
We were talking about John Mullins there, and in fact he's had a pop at Barry Andrews over the nitrates directive. But the interesting thing about this, Mary, is that they're almost trying to get attention by rowing within the coalition, because John Mullins is looking for a seat in the South constituency. Barry Andrews is looking for a seat in the Dublin constituency. So there's not really that much mileage in taking on someone in another constituency.
No, and I guess once it's, you know, inter sort of coalition parties wrangling, then it's always going to get more attention. Eamon Ryan sort of waded into the Regina Doherty row. You know, he was saying just a short while ago when he was addressing the media that, you know, this is simply Regina Doherty spotting people's, you know, fears around the changes that come with measures such as cycle lanes and just really capitalising on that. And she sees a political opportunity there, but he was sort of brushing it off. So, yeah.
Sandra, you were looking at the South constituency in general, and you've written a profile for the RTE website, which lists all of the candidates and all that good information. What's your take on how the campaign in the South constituency has been going?
I've been ringing people today, some of the candidates, some of the handlers, and they're all saying it's really difficult to predict because it is just so vast. Interesting to note some of the issues coming up. Migration is coming up on the doorsteps, maybe not quite as much. It's not the top issue. Housing really is. And housing, of course, is not something that an MEP can help you out with. The nitrates directive, this derogation and whether Ireland will continue to have that derogation, that has come up a lot when you think, of course, that there's a huge amount of rural land in, you know, the Golden Vale part of Munster and then that part of the southeast that's in the Ireland South constituency as well. How is it going to pan out? The conventional wisdom still seems to be that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and probably Sinn Féin will have three seats out of the five. The well-known candidates, Sean Kelly, Billy Kelleher and Catherine Funchen, the better known of the two Sinn Féin people, likely to pick up that seat. Sinn Féin vote will be interesting to watch. Leon Rita got just under 11% last time, not enough to get a seat, but they are running two candidates this time. The hope is that by dividing up the constituency geographically, that Paul Gavin is covering the southern part. Kathleen Funchen, of course, is based in Carlow Kilkenny. She'll cover the southeast, and that together they should get over the line. Then you're into sort of unknown territory. You've got the other two incumbents running are Mick Wallace and Grace O'Sullivan. Mick Wallace got 11% last time round. People don't think he's going to get 11% again this time. Polls have him a lot lower. I did speak to one candidate today who said, though, that speaking to people on the doorsteps, he'd probably do a bit better than that. His problem will be transfers. Michael McNamara, the independent TD from Clare, who used to be in the Labour Party, he is thought to be doing quite well. He has been a very strong questioner of the government policy on migration. He could get over the line. And then for the final seat, you've got second independent, perhaps. You've got Grace O'Sullivan, not likely to have the same strength of the Green Party vote that she did last time in 2019, but the Greens are transfer friendly and this is a long count and you're going to be going through all those eliminations to see can she get over the line. And then you've also got Labour and the Social Democrats running candidates not expected to pick up a seat. So we're really looking at those names I mentioned.
Mary, you had a look at the Midlands Northwest constituency. Vast constituency, a lot of candidates, very tricky to call. What's your analysis of what's been going on during the campaign there?
Yeah, the first, the most notable thing I've been thinking about this constituency is there's been pictures doing the rounds on social media of a sample ballot paper, and it's absolutely huge. 27 candidates. I think it's a record for the most candidates on a ballot paper. So it's really just stark how huge a choice facing the people in that constituency. So it really is a biggie of a constituency. And, you know, incumbency, I think, matters here for that reason. Name recognition and high profile matter. And that is why, you know, you see like Fine Gael choosing Nina Carberry, who is a former television personality, former jockey. I think at the start of the campaign, she was a near certainty to get a seat as opposed to their other sitting MEP, former Rosa Tralee, Maria Walsh. Maria Walsh has run a very strong campaign, and, you know, there is a sense now that she might be catching up, and she could, in fact, be the one to take that seat. A lot of focus on Nina Carberry, ironically, for being a celebrity candidate, her sort of low profile in the sense that she hasn't been doing many media appearances. Other candidates sort of accusing her of being sort of wrapped in cotton wool by the Fine Gael party. And she did appear on the 6-1 last Friday. So it's unlikely that Fine Gael could take two seats there. But one of those certainly will get a seat. And then on the Fianna Fáil side, there's very much been an internal battle there. By accident rather than by design, they have a three-candidate strategy because Barry Cowan was selected by the party membership, followed by Niall Blaney, and in second place for that contest. So they added to the party headquarters, added two candidates to the ticket. There's, unlike Fine Gael, there's kind of zero party discipline within Fianna Fáil. So Barry Cowan has been canvassing right across the constituency. And he is also, you know, tipped, along with name recognition, that is the reason he is tipped to take a seat there. Something interesting to watch, I think, will be the transfers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in Mayo. Lisa Chambers, if Maria Walsh was to be eliminated first, could Lisa Chambers benefit, and vice versa? Luke McFlanagan, the incumbent, also, you know, highly tipped to retain his seat. He's been particularly active on the MICA defective blocks issue, also on the Agriculture Committee in the European Parliament. And then there's Sinn Féin. Their candidates themselves are fairly low profile. Chris McManus and Michelle Gildernew. But, you know, you'd have to imagine with the brand recognition, what they lack in personality recognition, they have it in brand recognition. So there should be a seat for Sinn Féin there. And then it's looking like Kieran Mullooly is in contention, former RTE correspondent, you know, whether he will get a seat or not, but it is looking that way. So you could end up with, even though Kieran Mullooly is with Independent Ireland rather than an actual independent, he is under the independent umbrella. So, you know, you could look at two MEPs coming back from that independent sort of pool, if you like.
Micheál, last night we had the last of the primetime debates, and it was on Dublin. And in a way, it was slightly different than some of the other debates in the sense that a lot of them were big names, very polished. They're elected to office, all but one. And it was quite interesting to see how finely honed their arguments were at this stage.
Yeah, and international affairs really were the dominant theme, especially in the opening part of that debate. And there was the big line, one of the big lines of the campaign, a polished one, no doubt, training ground move from Barry Andrews when he said to Claire Daly that she should think more about Crumlin than the Kremlin.
It's the line of actually the campaign.
That's a good one.
Strongest line.
That's a good one. Yeah. And those things don't always work and most of them fall flat. But that is good. That is political writing with a bit of punch to it. Claire Daly, assertive in her response, not quite the fiery Claire Daly that you see in the European Parliament or indeed from her days in Leinster House, but assertive nonetheless and adamant that sending weapons to Ukraine prolongs the war. So that was an early theme really of that debate, as was that issue of migration. And again, Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats kind of landing the big line there when she talked about those checks that are taking place that most of the parties in Leinster House seem to be supporting, Garda checks, whether at the airport or whether at the border, saying that they're nothing but performative cruelty really, as politicians go seeking votes. So I thought that was notable. If you're to say, does the debate change anything? Not hugely. They are accomplished performers. They're experienced politicians. I think there is this kind of consensus perhaps building that you could see a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin candidate, Lynn Boylan, Barry Andrews, Regina Doherty, and then Éan Oriordan as the person who could get that last seat, or that they would be the four. I just find...
Meaning that Ciarán Cough could lose out.
Could lose out, yeah. And Claire Daly on that reckoning as well. I just don't think that's right. And there's too much volatility in the electorate. I think there's too much deep-seated anger, whether that's on the cost of living, housing or immigration, that would return a ticket like that that would be largely of the establishment and largely conservative. I just think something in that will give there, whether that's Claire Daly holding her seat, whether that's either Barry Andrews or Regina Doherty losing their seat, if something like that is going to happen in the middle of that. Now, for Fine Gael to lose that seat would be, it doesn't seem impossible, but they have held it since the 70s. Although, and they have this new Taoiseach with this new bounce and this new momentum. Does that make it unlikely?
Sandra, you have been looking at some of the timings for the weekend, because it's going to be not just a weekend of counting, but it's probably going to stretch into midweek of next week. Just sketch out what's coming down the track.
Well, they start opening the ballot boxes at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, but it's going to be a long time before we get clarity. So there's three election contests here: the local elections, the European elections, and the Limerick mayoral election. So first they'll separate those out. Counting in the local elections probably will get going properly from around Saturday lunchtime. You'll start seeing results into the evening, but it'll be quite slow coming, and those local election counts will certainly go on into all through Sunday, probably into Monday. Then the European elections is different. The counting doesn't start until Sunday morning. We will start to get proper tallies coming from the counts, but there will be no results announced until after 10 o'clock on Sunday night. Some of those counts will keep going. Some returning officers might feel that they could finish something out. Maybe Dublin, it's got the smallest population of those three constituencies, but those counts will go on probably until Wednesday, maybe Thursday. And then the Limerick mayoral election, they'll start counting on Monday with the result expected later that day. So there's several days of fascinating watching and listening for political watchers. I'm sure there'll be loads on RTE that they can all tune into.
Mary, one interesting thing, I guess, is that particularly with the locals, there's 945 seats to be filled. And in a way, that it's because it's such a large sample of seats.
945 or 949?
Oh,
I think it might be
949. Okay.
Those four seats, that could be
crucial. They're crucial.
But in a way, filling those seats is going to give a very good handle on the thinking of the electorate. And this is something that you'd have to think an individual like Simon Harris will be looking at very closely as he's weighing up what's the right time to call the general election. What things do you think he as Taoiseach is going to be looking out for specifically in terms of the timing of the next general election?
Well, I guess the big question really arising out of the local elections is who is ahead, which party is on top, because we're seeing now a lot of sort of levelling out, the polls would suggest, between Sinn Féin and Fine Gael. So really, who is ahead after the local elections? But, you know, you'll hear party leaders and politicians saying that the locals aren't always the best indicator of how they will do in the general elections that are subsequent to that. So what they'll be looking at, Simon Harris, for example, you know, he'll be looking at candidates in certain areas where the party may not have TDs at the moment, or where there are TDs stepping down, and can they get those candidates elected? How well do those candidates perform in the local elections? And he'll also be weighing up subsequent to Friday's vote, I think, the timing of the next general election. I don't think he will be jumping, you know, into anything too quickly, but it'll certainly, you know, be on his mind. Then you will see the likes of Sinn Féin looking at where they are gaining or where they are losing votes. So if they are, you know, losing votes in certain working class parts of Dublin, let's say, for example, as some are suggesting, could that see some kind of shift in their strategy going into the general elections? And for Fianna Fáil, what they'll be looking at is again, where they're coming percentage-wise compared to the other parties. You know, a good day for Fianna Fáil, and it's just, you know, steady as she goes. But a bad day, will that, you know, rekindle the sort of talk that's out there around potential leadership change? Could it encourage a good vote? Could encourage Micheál Martin to, you know, stay around and say, yeah, he'll have another go at hopefully being part of government formation next time around? But a bad day might might, suggest that there could be some manoeuvrings around the European Commission position.
Micheál, naturally, what we're probably going to see is, given the fact that Fianna Fáil are the largest party in local government coming up to this election, it's likely they are going to fall back a bit, and Sinn Féin, who didn't have a great local election in 2019, is probably going to come up a bit. Having said that, people who think there's going to be a huge wipeout of Sinn Féin, that's not really going to be the case. People who've been looking at the polls, at the drop in support for Sinn Féin, that's not really going to materialise in terms of local seats.
No, because 9.5% the last time, and if there are, the polls do suggest the party is somewhere around the 20% mark still. So that would suggest significant enough gains at local level. And if there will inevitably be a falling back of the Fianna Fáil number of seats based on the poll results as well. So that would suggest, like, come Tuesday, Wednesday morning, that the three parties will be even enough, perhaps, at local government level at least. So then it's who manages to make that bit of progress, you feel, in the European counts, that will probably have the biggest message to sell, whether that's Fine Gael managing a second seat in Midlands Northwest. Could Fianna Fáil do it in South? If something like that were to happen, well, then that would give those parties a degree of momentum. Other things too to watch for smaller parties: if Éan Éireann were to win that seat in Dublin, well, then that would be a significant announcement on behalf of Labour, wouldn't it, really? And those writing the party's obituary would have to pause it for the moment.
And the Limerick mayor is going to be interesting too.
It is, yeah. And whether or not the parties, like when the Shannon was set up initially, it wasn't meant to have anything to do with political parties. It was meant to be just independent for independent voices and vocational voices. If there is a truly independent candidate gets through in Limerick, that would kind of set the tone in that it wouldn't be in the grip of the political party. So that will be interesting to watch from that point of view. If there is a political party win, well, that will be sold big time as well, obviously.
All right, we might
There's one final thing in the last while, Pascal Donoghue talking about election counts and the like, and he said there is a review of security at election counts, saying there are charged atmospheres and to ensure the security of candidates and their supporters, that work is ongoing now. That would all suggest that there's likely to be more guards around count centres in the next few days.
Well, that's something we saw in the most recent referendum on family and care, where some of the politicians at Dublin Castle did get an element of hassle. When you speak to the guards, it's a kind of a balancing act. Do they want to intervene, which can sometimes attract more trouble, or do they stand back? It's a tricky balancing act. It's something they've been grappling here with at the Dáil, really.
At the Dáil, and also the Taoiseach's canvass in Castlebar last week as well, and how that descended into almost chaos, you know.
Just one other word, I suppose, on the fallout from the European elections is the potential for by-elections for the Dáil. And that will also figure and have an impact on the timing of a potential general election, because we've mentioned several people who are TDs who are being tipped for seats. Barry Cowan in Fianna Fáil, that would hit the government's majority. And then some others on the opposition side, Éan Óradán, Michael McNamara. If you had several by-elections, which all have to be held within 6 months, so that would be by the end of the year, I think that would strengthen the position of having a general election before the end of this year, because why would you have those by-elections and then you'd have to have a general election shortly afterwards anyway?
And of course, there are a couple of TDs who are running in the Limerick mayor. So if one of them was to get elected, that too would
spark by-elections. Of course, Brian Leddon, of course, from the Green Party.
Difficult to see government facing into by-elections this time around, isn't it? Because ultimately then, inevitably, they become reliant on independents in that period after Christmas, and independents were the ones who did pull the plug when that confidence motion in Simon Harris came up in February 2020.
All right, interesting weekend ahead. Now, full details of all the candidates are on our website. That's www.rte.ie. So if you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. From myself, Micheál, Sandra and Mary, thanks very much for listening. And tune in over the weekend. We're going to have a special edition of the podcast going out on Sunday afternoon with all the latest. And we'll be joined there by Áine Loughran. Thanks very much.